Okay, we are turning this morning to the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. Let's go all the way back there again to chapter 3. Good things happen in chapters 1 and 2, and then the whole rest of the Bible is written to try to get things right again. So, chapter 3, verses 8 through 20. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is written here this morning. Before I get into verse number 8, verses 1 through 7, we know what that is. That is the fall of mankind. They ate from the tree, and now here we'll just pick that up in verse number 8. So what's happening now? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Let's pray. Father, as we go into this time of this message, Father, I just pray real simply that these words will be holy and pleasing to you and will reflect the truths that you want me to present to this congregation here today. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in week number 4 in this sermon series about men and women, about gender. And I assure you, after today, we're only going to go 2 more weeks, and then we'll finish up and move on to something else. But what have we learned so far? There are 2 genders, and only 2 genders. God created them, male and female, Genesis 1:27. And these 2 genders are physically different. These 2 genders think differently, and these 2 genders act differently. And that is by divine design. And within this divine design is a divine order of authority, according to 1 Corinthians 11:3, in Genesis chapter 2, and in Genesis chapter 3. By God's design, there is God the Father, who is the head of Jesus Christ, who is the head of man, males, who is the head of women, females. This divine order of authority is only for the God-ordained institutions of marriage, the family, and the church. We outlined that last week. But now God has turned our culture over, certainly the American culture, over to a depraved and reprobate mind. And that's a mind that is worthless and useless. We see that in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. And because of this depraved, reprobate mind, there is now confusion in marriage. There is now confusion in families. And there is now confusion in the church about this divine order of authority. To put it bluntly, men are not stepping up to their authoritative responsibilities, and women, in turn, are rising up to fill those positions of authoritative positions. And this is not by God's design for these three institutions. There's an interesting biblical truth that I want to share with everybody here this morning, and it's a truth that not a whole lot of people know about. And it's going to get right back to what we just read here in Genesis chapter 3 and about the fall of mankind. We're all familiar with the fall of mankind, but do we really realize what all happened on that day? We know that sin entered the world, but it doesn't stop there. We know this. In verses 1 through 5, it tells us that Eve was tempted by the serpent. In verse number 6, she succumbed to that temptation. And in verse number 7, it resulted in sin. Satan's deception worked. Eve even says so. The serpent deceived me. But here's what we all need to learn and understand about that whole day of creation. And because of this fall of mankind, because of this sin, it says that God pronounces a curse on everybody involved. And not just the man and the woman and the serpent, but that curse is also on us too. God first curses the serpent in verses 14 and 15. We read it right there. And there is a little bit of prophecy in there in verse number 15, a messianic prophecy. So I'm not going to get into much about the curse on the serpent, but I do want to get into the curse on the woman and on the man, because this is where I want to go here today. In verse number 16, God curses Eve and all women after Eve. And God says this, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." The female gender has now been cursed. We need to understand what that curse involves. I firmly believe that any woman in here, or any woman alive that's ever given birth to a child, understands that there is pain in giving birth. Ladies, can I have an amen on that? Okay. Ladies, that pain that you experienced in giving birth was part of the curse that God put on mankind, women in particular, because of the sin of Eve. So, don't blame your husband, okay? It's kind of his fault, but it really was part of the curse. But the next part, I think we all understand that. That's pretty straightforward. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Most people think that that word desire there in that verse means just that. Oh, boom, boom, you know, come here, honey, you know, let me hug and squeeze you, and let me give you kisses all around it. That the woman desires and wants her husband more than anything. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't it? If a wife's desire was strictly for her husband. But this statement from God in Genesis chapter 3:16 is what? It's a curse. So what does that mean? The correct interpretation would be this. Your desire, ladies, will be to have authority, and you will want to dominate your husband. But that's not going to happen. By divine design, he is going to rule and have authority over you. And woman, that will be your curse. And this curse becomes a part of that sinful human condition that we have. And our human condition says this: we don't like what God has set up. Go through any commandment. Our human nature doesn't want to obey God. Praise God, we have Jesus. And he gives us the power to overcome these things. John MacArthur explains the curse this way. He says this, and I quote, "Sin has turned the harmonious system of God-ordained rules into distasteful struggles of self-will. Lifelong companions, husbands and wives, will need God's help in getting along as a result." Need God's help in getting along as a result. Amen. I can say that with a little bit of liberty. Gail wasn't here today. The woman's desire will be to lord it over her husband, but the husband will rule by divine design, part of the curse. But the curse continues for the man. And men, we're not off the hook here either. Verses 17 through 19. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree by which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return." For Adam, there was no more walking through the garden, just picking some fruit off a tree and just having a nice day. Work would now be required for food. Men, speaking to all of us men in here, we will now be the workers because we are responsible for providing. And that's not going to be easy. And you will have authority over your wife, according to Genesis 3:16. And I trust you, that is not going to be easy either. Because she is going to want to rule over you, says the Bible. And this curse becomes part of our sinful human condition. And not only that, death has entered into the world. God says this, "For dust you are, and dust you shall return." Romans 5:12 substantiates that by saying this, "When sin entered the world, so did death." John MacArthur explains the curse on the man this way. He says this, and I quote, "The reason given for the curse on the ground and human death is that man turned his back on the voice of God to follow his wife in eating that from which God had ordained him to abstain. The woman sinned because she acted independently of her husband, disdaining his leadership, counsel, and protection. The man sinned because he abandoned his leadership and followed the wishes of his wife. In both cases, God's intended rules were reversed." End quote. Did you know that because of these curses that are given here on the man and on the woman, this has now been a part of our human condition? Question. Why are there too many men in this world who do not want to work and who do not want to be responsible? Thank you. Thank you. Because it's the curse. It's the human condition of the man. He doesn't want to do what God has ordained him to do. Question number two. Why are there too many authority-seeking, power-hungry women in the world today? It's the human condition. Males and females have been cursed, and we don't want to do what God wants us to do. This morning, I want to bring to light a movement that we have in our country today that has taken this curse from Genesis chapter 3 and has taken it to the next level. This movement may appear in some ways to be positive on the outside, but in reality, it has a destructive agenda. What is this movement? It is the feminist movement. And at its core, it wants to steal, it wants to kill, and it wants to destroy that which God has ordained. Now, some of you, some people listening to this message, might think that I am anti-women. Trust me, I love women. And when I was younger, it got me into a whole lot of trouble. My issue is not with women, and my issue is not with men. I simply uphold the word of God. And God has an issue with any liberal-minded organization that has an agenda to usurp his word, confuse the genders, and then push their agenda into the institutions that he has ordained, into marriage, into the family, and into the church. And I have a problem with that, and every Christian should have a problem with that. I am a firm believer that any person, regardless of their gender, male or female, should require and should receive equal pay for equal work. That's pretty straightforward. It should be. I'm also a firm believer that a man should never take advantage of a woman as an opportunity for her to advance her career. That is a no-no. And I also am a firm believer that a man should never use his physical strength to overpower a woman for sexual or any other abusive reasons. Personally, I know what I'd like to do with those kinds of guys. If the present-day feminist movement stood for these issues that I just said and these issues only, hey, I would be all in. I'd be right there. And on the outside, people, that might look like it's their agenda, but I assure you it is not. Their core agenda is to destroy what God has established. Let me share some things that are going on within that movement, some of the people, and some of the things that have been said. As far back as 1971, the early organizers of the feminist movement, which we would have probably called the Women's Liberation Movement at that time, produced a document called the Declaration of Feminism. And this is their basis for their movement. And it says this, and I quote, "The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. Therefore, it is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not live individually with men. All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of women. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft," end quote. So that's their core belief, okay? So what is their agenda saying? First of all, let's do away with marriage, that God-ordained institution, and let's forget about Christianity. We want witchcraft. You see, on the outside, it looks like a social movement. It's not. The movement is a direct attack on the Word of God. Because here's what they're doing. Hey, did God really say? Annie Laurie Gaylor is a feminist and the co-founder, along with her husband, who is also a feminist, and yes, men can be feminists, of an organization called Freedom From Religion Foundation. In the 1988 July-August publication called The Humanist, she wrote an article called Feminist Salvation. And she writes this, and I quote, "Let's forget about the mythical Jesus and look for encouragement, solace, and inspiration from real women. 2,000 years of patriarchal rule under the shadow of the cross ought to be enough to turn women toward the feminist salvation of the world," end quote. So what's her agenda? Well, we can do away with Jesus, because if we can do away with Jesus, we can do away with the divine order of authority, and then women can provide salvation for the world. It's not a social issue, my friends. Feminism is a direct attack on the Word of God. Did God really say? Dr. Mary Jo Bain, a feminist and assistant professor of education at Wellesley College, says this, and I quote, "In order to raise children with equality, we must take them away from families and communally raise them. We've got to get them away from any male influence," end quote. So Jacob, these people want to take your two children away from you. So what's their agenda? Let's abolish the family unit. Let's eliminate male authority, because it doesn't take two loving parents to raise children. It takes a village, Of course Hillary was right. It's not a social issue, my friends. It's an attack on the Word of God. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, we know about them. They're the leader and they lead the parade on abortions. We've heard about them. Says this, and I quote, "The most merciful thing a large family can do to one of its infant members is kill it," end quote. Okay, so what's her agenda? Well, that's pretty straightforward. Let's abolish the family unit by promoting abortion. It's not a social issue. It's an attack on the Word of God. Sheila Cronin, a very prominent feminist leader, says this, and I quote, "Since marriage constitutes slavery, we have to attack marriage," end quote. I think some of these people just met the wrong men. There are still some good ones out there. What's her agenda? Marriage under male authority is slavery. It's slavery, so let's abolish marriage and the family unit. It's an attack on the Word of God. The National Organization of Women Times claims this, and I quote, "The simple fact is, every woman must be willing to be recognized as a lesbian before she is fully feminine," end quote. What's her agenda? Let's promote lesbianism and homosexuality. Well, personally, I beg to differ, and I wish my wife was here this morning. I guarantee you one thing, my friends. My wife is fully feminine, and she is not a lesbian. It can happen. It's not a social issue. It's an attack on the Word of God. One last one. Gloria Steinem, editor of Ms. Magazine, says this, and she said this back in the 80s. "By the year 2000, we will, I hope, raise our children to believe in human potential, not God," end quote. Liberal agenda ideologies, which are influenced by Satan's deceptions. They are not social issues. They are theological issues because they are always an assault on the Word of God. And why is that? Because if there is a God, he's a God of authority and he's a God of law. And that kind of a God will always require accountability, something that these people do not want. So let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of all his stupid patriarchal hierarchy BS, and let's live our lives the way we want to live our lives. And now we have come full circle, right back to Romans 1, verses 28 through 32. And God said, okay, and he gave them over to a depraved, reprobate, worthless, and useless mind. And that is what we have today. The Supreme Court of the United States has passed a law that says same-sex marriages are now allowable. We've all heard that. And we are all told, especially Christians, we better accept it. And there will be consequences if we don't. And how unfortunate it is that so many churches and denominations and people in them churches have fallen to those lies, and they are sucking up to the culture and they're sucking up to the government. They're afraid to stand on the Word of God. Well, I was on Facebook last night, and Franklin Graham had something to say, and I would like to share what Franklin Graham has to say with everybody here. I'm quoting Franklin Graham. Quote, "A lawyer with the Orange County, California School District sent a memo saying that parents could not opt their children out of classes about gender identity or sexual orientation. Unbelievably, the memo said," another quote, "parents do not have the constitutional rights to override the determinations of the state legislature or the school district as to what information their children will be provided in the public school classroom," end quote. Franklin goes on to say, If parents' rights aren't going to be recognized, I'd rather be out of there with my children if at all possible. Their so-called Healthy Youth Act requires school districts to provide students with comprehensive sexual health education and mandates that they teach about gender, gender expression, gender identity, and the harm of negative gender stereotypes. Love this next line. They are trying to indoctrinate the next generation. This is your good reminder, says Franklin. No matter where you live, parents, stay involved in your children's school and school system. Be extremely careful who you vote for to serve on your local school board. The decisions they make are so key to the future. Orange County and all of California has many great churches. I hope pastors will speak out against wrongs like this and help educate their congregations about the importance of seeking out, supporting, and voting for Christian school board members. End quote. Thank you, Franklin Graham. Well said. But you know what, Franklin Graham? They're not going to speak out about it because they're buying into it. The only institution, my friends, that can effectively battle and stand against any of these liberal agenda movements is the church and is the Word of God. So what do we think is going to happen when the church no longer battles these issues, but rather joins in promoting these issues? I have the answer to that. It's just a matter of time before our generation witnesses the extinction of marriage, which we're already seeing, the family unit, which we're already seeing, and the demise and the death of the church, which there's just too many dead churches out there already. The family unit, marriage, the church, the three institutions that God has ordained are now going to die. Because the institutions that he has ordained are supporting these liberal agendas. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. I hope you already know this, Beech Grove, that you know whose side I'm on. I'm not here to please any person. I'm here to please God. I have no choice. Because if I'm trying to please you, the world, other churches, church people, then I'm not a servant of Christ. I have news for the Supreme Court of the United States of America. They do not determine, nor do they legislate morality. Only the Word of God has that authority. Are Christians to obey our government? Yes, we are. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. But only when those laws do not contradict what? The Word of God. Beech Grove, we will not bow down to the immoral, anti-biblical decisions that our government and other of these other liberal agenda movements are attempting to, because they're attempting to strip down God of his divine purpose behind the roles of men and women in the marriage, in the family, and in the church. And I am not going to bow down, and I certainly hope you are on my side. Thank you. Genesis 3:16-19. Because of the fall, God pronounces a curse on men. Here's your curse, men. You are now going to be responsible. Here's your curse, ladies. You got that childbearing thing going on, and you're going to want to rule. And guess what? That's not the divine order of authority. And we still live with that curse today. It hasn't gone away. And falling and succumbing to the effects of this curse result in sin. It's that simple. It's like committing adultery or stealing or coveting or idolatry. It's no different. But the good news is this, that this curse is something that a man and a woman can overcome if we truly want to be obedient to the Word of God. Well, that's the way it is for any commandment now, isn't it? What do we want to obey? And what do we want to dismiss? Well, male, and female, he created them. The male and female genders were made, and they were wired differently by our Creator for his plan and for his purpose. And we can either fight that and be disobedient, or we can embrace that and be blessed. I say, let's embrace that and use the gender that God has made us, male or female, for his glory, not ours. Let's pray.